time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. On my series, Awesome Animals, this is one that I've had many encounters with personally, and also, I guess, in those feeding relationships, we talk about ecology, and you'll hear many stories where the elk or the wapiti, as the Native Americans, you know, had given this animal. Their name wapiti actually means light-colored animal, and it's really referring to his light-colored rump. Elk have a long storied history with Native Americans and a short one in the East once the settlers arrived, and I'll discuss a little bit about that. You know, and as usual, I'm going to share stories with you and encounters, personal encounters with elk as well. You know, I'm going to teach you about habitat characteristics and population ecology as well. So here's one of the first stories. You know, I'm out doing research, grizzly bears out right outside of Yellowstone. I'm in the Beartooth Mountains, and when I'm done, I am actually fly fishing in Yellowstone. You know, it's one of my passions. Because you know what it is about fly fishing? It gets me into the outdoors. But when something unique happens, like I might be fishing and you hear owls calling, well, then I could care less about the fishing. It's like the owls I'm concerned about. Well, the first time I am in Yellowstone and I am fishing and I have to stop because a herd of elk, and people are all at a herd of elk, I'm talking about 100 elk, are probably about 20 feet from me, and walk right through the river, and I am saying, you know, the one word I could think about was majestic, and they just sort of marched through the river, and I could care less about fishing because I am up close and personal watching this. And one of my favorite photos, you know, you can catch my photos because, I mean, we are on, let's think about this, Tumblr, Twitter, Flickr, Facebook, you name it, and the list goes on and on and on. I have a social media person who, you know, puts up photos all the time. You can see some of my photos, because actually we put up a photo a day, so, you know, just to, you know, share with people about what's going on in the outdoors or where we may be filming, something of that nature. And I have a photo up there of two bull elk, and I will talk to you later on about bull elk and, you know, the size of them, etc. But I am telling you with a zoom lens, once again, majestic, magnificent, whatever, probably magnificent, probably one of the best photos I had ever taken. Actually, I shot this one out in Yellowstone, but I'm also going to let you know that there are so many tourists that are out there, and they forget that animals are wild animals, and they just get too close to them. You know, I would say this, there are people that think that they're going to take their selfie, you know, with a buffalo right in the background and all this. We just need to be safe. And you should also know this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Simply go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So let's take a look at the history of the native eastern population. They were eradicated from Maine to Florida in the mid-1800s. You know, two reasons. Loss of dense woodland, their habitat, and farming. So, you know, what was happening is the settlers were cutting down forests, so they're trying to create farming for themselves, their own little culture, but their habitat, and then it was over-hunting at that point as well. Well, there's a resurgence to the elk management in Pennsylvania. There's a new herd. They are descendants of the Rocky Mountain elk. They're brought in between, like, I guess it was between 1913 and 1926. Some of them were from Yellowstone. And again, you bring them in from different areas because we want a larger gene pool. You know, I mean, you're looking at the genetics, and you don't just want one small population, so a larger gene pool. And now Pennsylvania has the largest free-roaming elk herd in northeast United States. And you know what's funny? The largest population happens to be in Elk County. Makes sense? Yeah, it does. Well, one organization that's responsible for reintroducing management and education is the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. But let's head out back out west, because you see, I'm in the Beartooth Mountains, summertime, you know, and we're, and you've heard me tell stories. Well, I'm up in the top of the Rockies, backpack, number of scientists, and we're out there doing research on critical grizzly bear habitat. And we get up to the one area, we are now at about, I'll say, we're probably somewhere around between 10, 11,000 feet. And I called this one place where we were camping and looking down onto, I called it the golf course. And if you've ever seen what a golf course, I'm sure you all have what it looks like. It was in the middle of nowhere. No, it was not a golf course. This was just like nature's golf course. And it just looked finely manicured, and you'd see a little water hole here and some woods, a little woodland here. And well, this was where there was the nursery of cows and calves. And every day, they would be out there early morning, early evening, and they're out there feeding. Well, I'm going to tell you that one day, you see two coyotes just coming right up over, and I say the hill, but you're in the top of the Rockies, so this little knoll, and they come over, and all of a sudden, and I am telling you, I've seen many magnificent things, big word, use it often, in the wild. This was definitely the coolest thing that had happened. In an instant, all the cows, the females, the moms, they pushed all of the calves. Now we're talking about probably a herd of hundreds. Pushed all the calves in the middle, and all the moms were sticking out of. It was like, you see, like in football when the linemen line up before the ball is hiked, there were moms just there side by side by side by side by side in a complete circle, and they just stood there. And as the coyotes, and I don't know what these two guys were thinking about how they were going to snatch a calf off of this one. It, in my mind, it just wasn't going to happen. But I said, let me just see what's going on here. And as they would stalk a little closer and a little closer, and all of a sudden, one of the cows would come racing out and charging after, and probably run about 20 feet and just stop, and the coyotes would just bolt out. And then the cow would actually back herself up. Boop, boop, and back herself up all the way to and that one open spot and go back there. And then the coyotes would try it again. And another cow would come racing out, chase them, back up. Well, the coyotes probably tried, yeah, I'm watching maybe a half hour or so, tried three or four times, and then they left. And then the cows and calves went back to feeding like they normally was. But, you know, it's one thing to talk about that. It's one thing to, hey, you may even see it on a documentary somewhere, but to actually be there live and watching it. And this is at a time before I was filming Joey B TV. And hey, if you ever want to watch my adventures, you can always log on to joeyb.tv. And if you have a question, you comment, you can always tweet me at Joey B Outdoors. Well, also, going up the Rocky Mountains, there are these game trails. And the game trails, if you don't know, they are trails that animals have created over hundreds of years. They are the trails. It's easiest to move from point A to point B. And, well, how do we do it? Well, going up the Rocky Mountains, there aren't many places in the higher mountain passes. And it's like there's a little bit of a wall on one side, and you can walk up and look at that wall. But when you look over the edge, you're now looking down like tens of thousands of feet. And I hear falling off of it's probably, it might be fun until you hit the ground, but you need to be. So these animals, and every animal goes up that game trail. And it doesn't matter whether it's a grizzly bear or the elk or a mountain lion or a bobcat. It wouldn't matter. The only way to go up and down is on that game trail. Well, we get to a point in the game trail as we're going up, and it goes from narrow to all of a sudden maybe opens up to about 10, 12 feet wide, and there's this little rock ledge above it. And you know that that's where a mountain lion would be just sitting there waiting, because in that big open area, there were bones all over of elk, because a mountain lion would just be looking down as the hundreds of elk are going up, and you know the hairs on the back of their neck are going up because, hey, they know who's above them. And the mountain lion will be looking down going, excuse me, there. And he'll jump down, pounce, and elk below run down the game trail, elk above run up the game trail, and he's got dinner. But it was just this, like, bones sprawled out all over the place. Now, the cows are going to want to get to those summer grounds because, you know, when a cow gives birth, now think about how cool this is. The cow gives birth, and the calf is standing in 20 minutes. So think about a baby human, a little human kid, comes out, mommy's holding him, daddy's holding him, and the kid stands up and starts walking around. Well, that doesn't happen. So you're going, wow, thinking about that. Now, I was speaking one time at a school in the suburbs, and they had no clue as to what an elk was. And you know, I'm trying to give my description. And then they're not getting it, and I just described it this way. I said, all right, take a horse, put him on steroids, and stick 5-foot antlers on his head. And they were like, oh. I go, think about, and they're giggling, but I said, think about how large that is. Now, at closer inspection, let's talk about, well, the elk and whether they really, it depends on where they are, their food sources, et cetera, size. Well, if you got a bull elk, which is a male, he's going to be 700 to 1,000 pounds. At his shoulder, he is 5 feet tall. I mean, we're talking about a monstrous animal. Magnificent, used it again, but definitely a monstrous animal. Now, I gave you facts about nature, and I always say, well, here is probably one of the coolest nature facts you'll ever hear. And I probably say that in probably every fifth show. So this is one of those just great. Think about this. His antlers grow at a rate of 1 inch per day. Think about that. 1 inch per day. You know, and on that antler, we'll talk about one antler because obviously he's got two, but one of the antlers, and what comes off the edges are called tines. And he's got about 5 tines. So from each branch, he's got a little tine going off. And he sheds the antlers in March, April, May. And we'll get to the rutting season in a little bit. So now let's talk about cows. Cows are, you know, a little bit shorter than the bull, 5 to 600 pounds. Their gestation period, 240 to 260 days. So pretty, again, if you're going to give birth to a calf that's 35 pounds, I guess your gestation period should be a long period of time. And that calf is born with spotted coat, you know, similar to the white-tailed deer. And this is for protection, a little camo that goes on, you know, as they're just born. And they join the herd in about 2 weeks. So they're weaned at about 2 months, and they stay with the mom for about 2 years. But think about this. 20 minutes, you're up. 2 weeks, you're with the herd. 2 months, you're weaned. And you're going to stay with mom, and you're going, and off you are. You know, now, with the summer range, now let's go to the winter range. And I have to describe it this way. I met a cowboy in Montana, and he says, yeah, we got 4 seasons. We got before winter, we got winter, we got after winter, and we got summer. And he is really correct, because the snow date in Montana is August 20th. And August 20th doesn't mean, and I'm talking about the higher elevations, doesn't mean that you just get a little snow. I was caught in a blizzard, and I remember the date. It was August 22nd in a blizzard in the top of the Rockies. So, yeah, his before winter, winter after winter, summer is really quite a bit. So let's talk about that winter range. And the perfect place, again, if you have never seen elk or elk in volume, we'll call that, the winter range, you should head to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. At Jackson Hole, or the town of Jackson, right next to it, is the National Wildlife Elk Refuge. The Jackson Elk herd is there. In the wintertime, coming down is 6,000 to 7,000 elk come down to winter there. Now, if you're a skier and people love to ski, Jackson Hole, great, great winter. You're looking for a winter destination, a little costly, and I'll be honest with that one, but a great place. And actually, in my Vacations Across America series, I actually talk about doing Yellowstone, Jackson Hole, and all that. You should listen to that series there. That one's pretty cool. It tells you quite a number of places to, you know, go to. Just places, I guess, must-see American places. That's one of them. You got Jackson, so you got the Grand Teton Mountains in the background. You're in Jackson. You're looking at all of these elk. And they actually will give sleigh rides through. So you got horse-driven carriages. They will give sleigh rides through the refuge, so you will get up close and personal with them. Now, when you go to the center of town of Jackson, in their center square, there are 4 entrances, you know, one from each side, 4 entrances, and they are elk antlers that are, it's a monstrous arch, 4 of them. And you talk about like that perfect photo op that you're looking for. You need to go take your photo op there. Now, I mentioned before that the bulls are going to drop all their antlers. Well, the Boy Scouts, they will actually go out and gather the dropped antlers. There is an antler auction, and they sell them. This is their fundraiser out there. Hey, and think about this. You, as if you're just a novice person, and think about it, these antlers are 5 foot in length. So you're buying, obviously, two of them, 5 feet each. It's pretty neat. So, you know, if you go to Yellowstone, the winter range there, they migrate near Gardner, Montana. My professor and good friend, Dr. James Halfpenny, lives out there in one summer. So I'm doing winter range, but also in the summertime, you find elk in there. My niece Kate had met me out after some of the research, and we're, you know, I'm showing her Yellowstone for her first time. And we're in the town of Gardner, walking up to Dr. Halfpenny's house. And as we're going there, you just got an elk walking right through the town. And then it's, they're going from point A to point B because there's got to be food, and they just move themselves through. So you have all of those elk just, hey, meandering through town. There's also a large population in New Mexico. And one of my favorite places, hey, New Mexico is my favorite state, and I love the Montanas and Wyomings, and, you know, and I spent a lot of time out there in Idaho. But I always say that in New Mexico, I can go from the desert to the mountains in 3 hours, and that's why I like it. And one of my favorite places to go up to in the mountains is the little town of Taos, and you can fly fish from there. And my friend Cisco, who's a fly fishing guy, Los Rios River Runners, he actually has a rafting service as well. So Cisco is now guiding us in the outdoors. My buddy Fred and I, we hired Cisco for the day, and we're going to fly fish some of the glaciated lakes and then, you know, the streams coming down from it. And you're going, and as you're walking, this is summertime, and you're walking through, and you're just, wow, and there's an elk, and there's an elk. And, you know, they're bedding down, and you're just, you know, New Mexico, great place to see elk, and great place to see everything else inside of there. Now, let's talk about the rutting season. This is, you know, during the end of, like, the early, you got early fall. It's one of the greatest sounds in all of nature. The bull elk bugles to set up his territory and call in cows. So here's the difference in season. Now, I explained to you before that photo I had of the two bull elks, and that was early August. And now you got two guys who are monstrous, go back to my horse on steroids with antlers, monstrous, and they are just sitting down there. And they're just, hey, they're best friends. And all of a sudden, the rut, the hormones kick in, and now they are going to begin to do battle. So you go from, you know, buddies to, excuse me, this is my territory, these are my cows, and you shall get out. Well, the bull, he rubs his velvet off. You know, there's the velvet on his antlers. And as he's doing this and rubbing the rub, he's actually creating his territory, marking his territory that way. And when he rubs the velvet off, this is where the antlers become hard. And then they're now ready to battle for the right to mate. There are some serious duels. But because of these serious duels, we always talk about survival of the fittest. Well, guess what? The genetics of the larger, stronger guys, when, hey, most times it is the older guy who is stronger. But again, you're going to get to an age when you can't fight anymore, you can't battle anymore, or some younger dude is just stronger than you. But those genetics of the best genes are passed down. And because of those great genes being passed down, that single calf, he is born in May or June. Now, elk, they're herbivores. They diet consists of shrubs, grasses, sedges. Remember the difference between grasses and sedges. I always say it this way. Sedges have edges. They'll eat the bark of the aspen, conifer needles, and burn bark. And one of the times I was in Yellowstone just after the Great Fire, and the Great Fire is where about 1 million acres had burned. So you think about, they will eat burned bark, and this was, you know, something that they could eat at that point in time. Now, elk, can't speak anymore, they're ungulates. And cool term. And this simply means they're hoofed animals, and we have many hoofed animals. But because they're hoofed animals, as they walk through, and as explaining, you know, walking through the streams and rivers, etc., they will get a little of that mud stuck up inside of their hooves, and that will actually carry the bacteria Giardia. And Giardia is the bacteria, and I guess the nicest way of saying it, it gives you the les poupous, you know. So, you know, even when you say, well, I am in the most pristine place, and again, I have been in America to places when I was doing a critical grizzly bear habitat, especially I was in a place that was now closed off because it was considered critical grizzly bear habitat, and no one will ever go there again. So I've been in some, like, magnificent areas. Well, the elk, because it's carrying the Giardia in its hooves and that muck, it's transporting Giardia, so you need to make sure that you are using a water filter everywhere you're going to take care of not just the Giardia, but most of the things that we, you know, that are there inside that water. So we continue to monitor the progress as scientists. One of my other photos, again, check out all my photos, Tumblr, Twitter, Flickr, all that, Facebook, and I'm sure Pinterest, that list goes on and on. I have no clue. But I have one of a radio-collared elk. And you're looking at the radio collar, because most people see the photo and they go, what's that on his neck? Well, it's a radio collar, because all we really need to do is to radio collar one animal in the herd. When I was doing research with wolves, well, we just radio collar one wolf in the pack, because obviously where the herd goes, you go. Where the pack goes, you go. So, you know, we're still studying and steadily reintroducing herd into ranges where they once belonged. More so in the east, but hey, we've done it in Minnesota, quite a number of other places. Well, the wapiti, one of my favorite animals in the wild, and now I hope they're one of yours. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. That was awesome.